Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Such Amazing Grace, Freedom in Jesus Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, Grace That Educates. Let's look at our text, Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The Apostle Paul is challenging believers to learn more truth about grace. Verse 12 begins with teaching us that. Grace is an ongoing learning experience. But let's consider from our text three lessons grace teaches. First, grace teaches equality in Christ. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace teaches us that God loves all men. Crete was an island community on a major trade route with a very diverse population. Look at that, Titus chapter 1, verse 12. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. The phrase to all men includes even Cretans. Grace teaches us that no matter how deep we have sunk in sin, no matter how far we drift away from Him, God can reach all men. Grace doesn't discriminate based on age or wealth, race, gender, politics, or based on social standing. Even criminals and undesirous people, grace is God's response to our need. In the book of James, the apostle exhorts Christians to demonstrate grace without favoritism. He used very strong language to warn against judging others by their clothes or economic standards. We dishonor God when we treat one group more favorably than another. Look at James chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 9. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there, or you sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you're called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. God's willingness to give his best for the world's worst should motivate us to reach out to all men with the life-changing grace of Jesus. And then grace teaches purity in Christ. Verse 12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This verse is God teaching us to just say no to sin. Grace motivates us to reject the destructive effect of sin and choose a life of godliness. Unbelievers And even Christians have a wrong view of Christianity, where faith is seen as the opposite of fun. Sin does provide temporary pleasure, but that doesn't mean godliness is void of passion. Psalm 16, verse 11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Romans chapter 8, verse 32, Paul wrote, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If God offers amazing grace to sinners, what will he give to his own children who honor him with purity? Saying no is easier when we understand God's will, his plan for your life. God's grace teaches us to say no to harmful things and yes to the best God has to offer. And third, grace teaches expectancy for Christ. Verse 13, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Listen, waiting is never easy. We live in a culture that demands results faster and faster. It doesn't matter whether it's microwaves or computer processes. We want it now. We even combine shampoo and conditioner in one bottle because it takes too long to rinse twice. But grace teaches us to wait expectantly for Christ's return. God operates on his schedule, not mine. What seems like delay is opportunity to prepare for his arrival. Jesus is not returning as a vengeful king to punish us for our disobedience. He's returning to bring us to his home in glory. The non-believer will suffer his wrath on sin, but Christians enjoy God's grace. Let me ask you, if we were preparing to... If you were preparing your home for special guests, you're willing to do extra work. It's not because you're required to do it, but because you want to accommodate your guests in the best way. You prepare clean sheets and towels, you scrub the bathroom, you vacuum the carpet, you dust the shelves. Why the extra effort? Because the guest is worth it. Grace teaches us to look forward with anticipation and work with appreciation for God's love. We need that attitude when we approach our spiritual training. Grace reminds us that we run for Christ. We're saved by the grace of God. We share with others by the grace of God. And we strive toward the finish line with hope by the grace of God. And oh, by the way, there are no diplomas for the teaching of grace because the classroom is always in session. You think about that and you have a great day. Transformed.